Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, Eclipse Day, August 21st, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Eclipse Day. Did you notice it?
I heard about it. It's not abundantly clear down here where I am at Dallas. Apparently, you could catch some of it, but I went out and looked for it twice, and all it did was wreck my tan.
Did you have special glasses?
No.
No?
No. I just got a couple of jam jars, a little bit of strawberry preserves in the bottom of them, and held them up to my eyes to look at it, and it didn't work very well.
Did you take the jam out?
No.
No. Okay.
Not before. That would be dangerous for my eyes. But afterwards, I took it out and made a sandwich with it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it wasn't like the whole thing was a waste of time.
You know what's interesting, though? I was watching the weather station this morning. I didn't get out. It actually got a little cloudy at that point in time, but I don't know if it was just wet, regular weather, or if it was actually, you know, some effect from the eclipse. But it was interesting because he says what you should do is you can go out if you're not in that path and stand and look at your shadow. He says your shadow will be very distinct, that you'll be able to see the distinct hairs, you know, from the shadow of your hairs. They said everything will be very pronounced as far as your shadow. Normally it's just off in the, you know, a blob off to the either the left or the right or the front or the back. But they said your shadow will be very very particular to where you could see very fine tuning. I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't do it, but
I wouldn't even think of doing it, Melody.
Well, I thought
my hair is thinning, Melody, and I don't need any shadows to remind me.
You wouldn't have any shadows.
No, I wouldn't have little or no shadows from my hair. I don't need that. I get enough abuse in this life, so.
Well, for those who did have hair, maybe they'd gone out and saw their individuals. But anyway, it is amazing, and I'll go on to the market report, but it is amazing the amount of coverage on this eclipse day and the buildup to it. And people drove and traveled miles. They flew. They took their vacations. Everything was geared to around this eclipse. And I just found it kind of interesting.
It reminds me of all the hubba that went on for the year 2000. How the computers were all going to crash and the rest of that sort of thing. And we're going to have New Year's Eve and I don't know it. Party like it was 1999 and the rest of that sort of thing. In the end, it wasn't that big a deal.
No. I think it was great for when you were a child, you know, because I can remember the eclipse, you know, coming by when I was young and so forth. And it was exciting, you know, and it was exciting to, you know, make the little thing that you could make it, you know, so you could view it and so forth. But now the adults are acting like children, you know, like it's all exciting and they're going to travel, you know, all around the country. And, you know, maybe, you know, and I get it excites some people and I don't want to take that away from them, but it's just interesting the amount of coverage that was given to this. You know, you can call it a distraction.
Well, it's an interesting thing and it's something worth seeing. I'm sure I didn't really see it. I don't know. I didn't make a project out of it. You're right. You know, when you were younger, did you see the eclipse? Or, yeah, I saw the eclipse. Wasn't that exciting? I don't know. You get older. Been there, done that. Seen a number of things that were exciting or at least allegedly exciting, and you don't get hyped. You don't get overstimulated the way you were, the way you did when you were a kid. And that may just be a part of getting older, or it might be a part of common sense. But it's a certain amount of been there, done that, and
well, you know what's exciting for me is to have gold up $7 today at $1,292.20. What also is exciting, silver is up 0.04 cents, 1709. Platinum is up $3 at 985. Palladium was the star of the day, up $17, almost 2% at $941. It's soon going to eclipse platinum. And let's see how many times we can use eclipse.
But anyway. I'd rather do eclair. I'm thinking, you know, the eclipse is interesting, but an eclair, now that's something exciting.
But so, no, it is very interesting to see palladium almost surpassing platinum. And quite interesting. And we'll see where it goes. Still a great time to be selling your palladium or trading it for gold or silver. Certainly, the palladium is certainly at its highs as we see this, the paper markets hitting all kinds of records. So it's a great time to be trading around some of that palladium into something that has a little more upside potential as gold or silver. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. To do that, we will help you do that. You just have to give us a call. And let's go ahead and see where the paper markets are at. The Dow was up 29 points at 21,703. The NASDAQ was down 3 at 6,213. The S&P was up 3 at 2,428. 10-year yield keeps dropping, 2.18%, down 0.01. The euro, of course, was stronger at 1.18. Let's see what that little index, what emotion is driving the market. 15, extreme fear. 15, I think that's up a tick. I think it was 14 I saw earlier today, so... You know, again, the markets aren't reflecting as that gauge is telling us that there's a little more fear in the market. I think you can talk to any financial planner, anybody that has any sense out there, and they realize that, you know, the markets are peaking, that there's a lot of problems that are going on in this country. What I find interesting now is this article about the destroyer that collides with vessels. This is the second one.
Yep.
This time we have 10 American sailors that are missing, 5 injured, after the guided missile destroyer, the USS John S. McCain, collided with a merchant vessel east of Singapore. And videos acquired by Wall Street Journal show a helicopter taking the injured crew members to a general hospital. And now the Navy is going to pause operations, review collisions with the 10 missing. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis responds as storm impedes search for the sailors from the USS John S. McCain. The U.S. military signals that the Naval believes that the Navy needs to examine whether there may be institutional problems behind the deadly collisions. Navy Admiral John Richardson, the Chief of Naval Operations, made the announcement about the operational pause during nearly a 4-minute video message that was posted on Facebook Monday morning. He says he's going to order a broader investigation. He's directed an operational pause. He wants their fleet commanders to get together with their leaders and their commands to ensure that they are taking all appropriate immediate actions to ensure safe and effective operations around the world. So it just doesn't seem like this is a casual human error. Maybe the first one took claim that it might be, but I don't believe in coincidences. And not quite sure what an inquiry will provide. She can't always believe what they come out anyway. So it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of discussions about computer hacking. On Friday, there was a report that the State Department had suffered a worldwide email outage. So, and they talked about when the department was forced to shut down back in 2014, as it seems like the systems were compromised by hackers. So my question is this something that could have could these battleships, destroyers, be hacked?
Well, it's an interesting question. I don't doubt that it's possible. I'm sure they've got, I have to assume they have superb security to prevent that from happening.
You'd think.
But if someone, you know, it would be interesting if someone hacked into the computer and they made the radar, the telemetry data, whatever they're using to guide the ship, they made it look as if the ship could cross in front of or adjacent to one of these commercial transports, and they had 1,000 yards between them, and in fact, they only had 50. Now, a computer, in theory, the computer could do that, and people, instead of looking out the window or the porthole to see, somebody say, hey, that ship is awfully close. Somebody says, don't forget it. It says it's okay on the computer, so we're good. Interesting possibility. I mean, I'd be very surprised if that turned out to be true, but if it did, it would be astonishing. It would be dangerous. It would be evidence that the entire Navy was vulnerable. Because if you can hack into these destroyers, you can hack into virtually anything. And now what? Have to set down the whole fleet, all of the fleets, until they devise new security systems? I mean, you could put the whole Navy out of business for 6 months or a year if it turned out security didn't work.
Well, I think what's dangerous that it's happening now is because of the situations that we're having with North Korea. I mean, and this does make it the Navy seem vulnerable and weak. I mean, and if anybody was actually planning a real quote-unquote attack, you would probably think, well, gee, why would you announce that the Navy is halting their Pacific Fleet operations?
Well,
that's not something you'd want your enemies to know if there was a tense situation.
It's one of those things that may give you an excuse not to attack anybody for the next six weeks. All right, we're suspending everything right now. I don't know. You can find a bunch of things. If I had to guess what this was, is two instances of captains who told their subordinates full steam ahead to port or to starboard or whatever, and somebody says, "Sir, we're getting no, you just do as you're told, seaman." Blah blah blah. It sounds like somebody played hot dog to me. I don't know how this is possible.
I really disagree, Al, because it can happen once, but I don't believe it would happen twice. And I would like to think that our captains,
Melody,
and I would think that our captains, and I would like to think that the seamen are a little more professional than
I'd like to think
messing
so too,
up.
But maybe this has been going on for a while. I'm not saying it's ever happened, including these two instances, but it's almost inconceivable. How is it that you can't steer these ships in a way where you can't collide with another ship? I mean, they should have all sorts of warning devices and radar devices and computer devices and screens and everything else say, stop, stop, stop. And yet somehow they have apparently overridden whatever warnings were issued.
Which leads me to believe it being less likely human error.
Leads me to believe that's all it can be is human error. Somebody's not paying attention. Somebody said, forget what the computer says, I'm in charge here. Full speed ahead. And they blew it.
Blowing it once, yes. Blowing it twice, not so much.
But maybe they've been hot-dogging around for a while. Maybe this is the first two instances where they got caught playing chicken. I'm not saying any of this is true. That's pure speculation, but this is strange. And when they try to shut down everything in the Pacific to take a look at what's going on here, it may be that they're going to look at every commander who's commanding a ship and in the Pacific, and we're going to find out, do we have any hot dogs? Do we have any people who think they can run this thing and show their crew what a heroic guy they are and take these chances? Or are they all running by the book? And if they are, what is wrong with the book? There's something wrong here. This is just, I mean, if it, two times is certainly disturbing, but even one, how did that happen? I mean, this is just inconceivable unless something, there's something to be discovered here. And I don't know what it is, but either the computers are wrong or somebody's hacked in, or we've got people that are overriding the computers and they're saying full steam ahead when they should have said, you know, hard port or hard starboard, get out of here.
I think I didn't think of this earlier, just now. I think I'll contact David Krieger. He was a Navy captain with his mm-hmm. own ship. Mm-hmm. And I bet he has some insight as far as...
I'll bet he does.
So I'll have to contact him, see if he wouldn't be interested in sharing either on the radio or with me to see whether this is a human error or if it's something a little more dastardly. But anyway, interesting. But again, to me, it's make announcements that your whole Navy fleet is...
Well, I don't know. You don't have to believe the announcements, Melody.
Yeah, we can't believe anything else, right?
Yeah, hard to know what you can and you can't believe anymore. I mean, the only thing that makes sense a lot of times are the conspiracy theories.
That's true.
I've heard what they said on the news. I don't believe that at all, but I've heard a conspiracy theory that really makes sense to me.
Yeah, most of them do. Most of them do. Senator McConnell says there's zero chance. Here's a conspiracy theory. Senator McConnell says there's zero chance the U.S. won't raise the debt ceiling. He said Monday there's zero chance that the debt ceiling won't be raised. He was speaking at an event in Kentucky with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Kentucky Republicans said America's not going to default.
Ha, ha, ha.
Mnuchin has said the Treasury can keep paying bills through September, but what after September? So,
well, the truth of the matter is they've been defaulting all along.
Absolutely.
The $20 trillion national debt is evidence of default. We've had to borrow money to pay our bills for however long it took to build the debt up to $20 trillion. It wouldn't be that big, except we are technically defaulting. We can't pay our bills unless we borrow more money. We are in a condition identical to a guy who's using his MasterCard to pay off his Visa, to pay off his American Express. All right? He's paying his bills. Yeah, technically he's paying his bills. But the truth is he's broke. All right? Something similar is going on with our government, and sooner or later they're going to have to admit it. They'll be forced to admit that truth. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'm going to run a special, but that's going to be announced here at the next break. And just make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can always listen to the radio live and the archives from the website, dgscoins.com. And I also want to tell the listeners to, in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on 7490 frequency, WWCR, I do an hour program with Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio. Al was a guest Thursday. He filled in for her and will be joining us lots of times here in the future. So it's different. We don't talk about finances. We talk about everything. But finances is interesting because that's what everybody wants to talk about. I've been told time and time again, financial survival is the only program on many radio, particularly shortwave, that even addresses our financial problems and the economy. So we've been doing it for a very long time. So I appreciate all the listeners, and if you have time in the morning at 10 a.m., make sure you visit 7490 WWCR. I did have to laugh. I got a very nice note, and I had to laugh. He sent me a big picture of a squirrel with this funny little face on him, kind of ready to ask a question, and the squirrel is holding two big walnuts, one in each little paw. And he writes to me, he says, "The squirrel says, will you trade my walnuts for a silver eagle?" And Melody replies, "I only trade for cashews. Uh-huh. But I want to thank him. He made my day. And he always sends me things. He's a regular client. He always sends me little notes and things when he makes a purchase. And his last purchase, there wasn't any note in there. And I was a little disappointed, you know, because I always look forward to it. But he sent it to me separately. So I want to thank him. And he knows who he is, Peter. And thank you. And he wrote a very nice letter about he's writing to thank you for the peace of mind from owning gold and silver from Discount Trading. He says, "I'm a daily listener of Financial Survival. Where do you find the time to do another hour of radio?" And he called me a Wonder Woman. So, and you mentioned this, Al, once. He had a different take on the North Korea situation. He says, "The man behind the curtain is India and the China conflict. The western border is the headwaters for the Indus River. China is in desperate need of water. On the spiritual side, the Lord promised return to earth. He may want to move up his schedule before man is blown to extinction and by his own doing." So another conflict. He's correct, Al. And you mentioned it once before, too. Yeah,
there's a bunch of them around here. And it's interesting, and was part of an article that I wrote for this last issue of the Anders of Financial Survival or American Survival. The computers have so dominated the stock and bond markets that they have become almost comatose. where it used to be that people were running the markets and the investors were people. The investors now are mostly computers. And they're not subject to emotion. The fear and greed index that you're talking about, it may be that ordinary people are feeling fear and greed, but ordinary people are not investing in the markets. And probably they shouldn't be. Part of the problem, part of the article we I wrote it, I was writing in response to someone else's article, but he pointed out that these flash crashes are taking place in milliseconds, microseconds. All right, the Amazon in June, the stock Amazon stock fell by $40 in something like 3 minutes. I just bang, just $40 disappeared, and then came back up. Now, nobody knows, or at least nobody's telling, whether that flash crash was the result of a computer error. That's what people are inclined to think. Or was it somebody who just got into the market, they made it crash, they made the computers go down, drop $40 on Amazon. They knew it was going to happen exactly at a particular time. It had dropped $40, buy it at $40, and it bounced right back up. You make $40 a share in a matter of minutes. But the point of this is that, well, 2 points. First off, once they started this high-speed trading, computerized trading, they discovered, they realized that in order to compete with the other high-speed computers, their computers had to be self-programmed. Their computers, there's a war between these competing computers. And they compete to see if they can fool each other into buying things, fool each other into selling things. And if they can, they can make a profit. Even if it's a small profit, they make it at microseconds. Make a penny, to now another penny in another microsecond, another penny. You do this fast enough, and all of a sudden, you've got yourself a substantial profit. This is all beyond our comprehension. It used to be that we could study the markets, and we could, if you were astute, you could realize, okay, this is a good buy, this is a bad buy. You look at the fundamentals, I'm going to buy this stock, and I'm going to ignore this one. Right now, it's becoming irrelevant. In the article that I wrote, they estimate that only 10% of the people in the markets today are the kind of people who actually sit down and study the markets and study the individual stocks and say, well, this is a good buy, this is a bad buy, based on fundamentals. Everything is moving because of the computers, and the computers do not have an emotional response. If there's war going on between India and China, it doesn't affect the computers. They don't get hot and bothered. If there's a potential nuclear war coming out of North Korea, nobody is there in a position to say, oh my gosh, this is scary. Now, if we can't comprehend what's taking place, the computers are now programmed where even the people that are in charge and own them, they're self-programming.
We don't really believe there is a...
They're self-programming, and the result is nobody now knows what the computers are doing. The computers are doing it. They apparently are in control. They are maintaining this, but no one really knows what the computers, what the programs say anymore, point one. And point two, even if you knew what they say, the markets move so incredibly fast, or at least they can move incredibly fast, as witnessed in the flash crash that's happened once in a while. You and I are too slow. We can't play this game anymore. This is like watching multimillionaires play polo. I can't afford a horse. It's not my sport. I can't play that game. What is the reason for me to follow it? And it's not only true that we're not playing the game. Most people have withdrawn from the markets. It's mostly institutions and computers that are doing the buying and selling in these markets. Most ordinary people have withdrawn from the markets. The only thing that's really left is we still watch the markets as if they are giving us vital information. Oh my gosh, the Dow went up over 22,000. Oh my gosh, the Dow fell down below 22,000. So what? What does
well,
that have
where
to
you're
do
wrong,
with people?
Al,
people aren't even people, in the market.
It does matter to people because they have pension plans. They have retirement accounts. They have retirement accounts. They are invested one way or another. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not directly sitting in front of their computer, and I can't remember what they used to call them when they sat in front of their computer and back in 1999 when during the tech crash and so
called
forth.
Them
yeah,
nerds. They were called nerds.
Well, whatever, Al. But the point is
now we call them
there's
CEOs.
Lots of people that are involved and affected. And they might not directly be sitting in front of their computer trading, but they own stocks, they own the shares, they own the bonds, they own a lot that is going to crash.
But is
period.
That sensible? Is that sensible
good
when the
grief.
Whole system is incomprehensible, point one, and moves so fast that even if you know what's going on, you can't keep up? If these things decide that if the computers... Something happens, and the computers all of a sudden start cascading. Computer A says the price of stock is going down $20 a share. Computer B overreacts and say, no, it's going down 40. Computer C says, oh, my gosh, it's going to 60. It's going down 60. We can have a sudden crash that affects the entire market, wipes things out, moves to – it could happen and be done before human beings even realize what's going on. And you can't get out. It's happening so fast, you can't get out unless you can imagine this in advance and say, I need to get clear. I'm saying that this is, it looks like an increasingly dangerous game. We can't comprehend it. We can't move fast enough to play it. What are we doing there? I think it's a valid question. I think people need to ask. It may be that they're tangled up. Yeah, you got stocks in your pension fund or whatever. Yeah, I get that. But why are we playing a game that we can't understand and that we can't move quickly enough to play to keep up with even if we did understand it? And what is it when we don't understand the game
because,
that's being played? When we don't have understanding, what is it? It's a gamble. It's like trying to understand whether the little ball on the roulette wheel, is it going to fall in 0-0 or is it going to fall in red 7? Where is it going, and why does it fall in red 7? I don't know. Why does it fall in 0-0? I don't know. We don't understand. That's gambling. We are now in, we've been talking about the markets being a casino for, I don't know, a couple of years, maybe. I don't know how long people have been using that analogy on a serious basis, but it, the way it's working, we don't know why stocks are going up. We don't know why they're going to go down, which means we are gambling. When you're investing, you know. You at least try to know. You read. Say, okay, this is a good investment. This one over here, not so good. I look at the profit and loss statement.
The idea, Al, is someone is controlling people's money, and it's not them. And they need to take an active part in controlling their funds and getting it protected. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. People, you know, people do watch what's happening in the paper markets because they are affected. This country is run by Wall Street. If you don't have Wall Street and the people don't have that confidence, they're not going to be spending. And so it does have a major, it has a psychological impact on how this country spends. And yeah,
do I agree
with that type of spending? Well, no, I don't. You know, Wall Street and Washington, you know, as people put their retirement money and everything in there, whatever funds they put in there, Al, they have financed the destruction of this country. People have become more powerful, more wealthy, and it's all on the backs of people that have worked hard. Do people really believe, let's just get to the fundamentals, I don't care who controls, I don't care if a computer controls, you know, the numbers on a daily basis. I mean, we still know that multinational corporations, you know, go into debt, they borrow money because rates are low, they buy back their shares and push their markets up. So, yeah, and it's all a game, as you said. It's just a game. It's a gambling game. In the meantime, the people out there are going to be destroyed financially.
I know.
And they just don't understand. I've talked to people all the time that are highly invested in the paper markets through their retirement accounts, their retirement plans. They've been living off the dividends you know, since 2008. They came out of the recession, and they're living off the dividends. So, no, a lot of people will be affected. Yes, they're not sitting in front of their computer, but they're making active decisions on what shares they get, on what dividends they get, and how much they get. And they've done extremely well. The key thing is, the point that they don't understand is, hey, it's all going to come to an end.
Well, I agree. It's certainly dangerous. I mean, the risk is rising. And they pointed out, again, the article I was quoting from in part, pointed out that one of the problems is that these computers are the foundation for what appears to be stable prices. All right? There hasn't been any dramatic increases or dramatic falls recently. Now, they have them from time to time, but the computers have stabilized, and we have lost a certain amount of volatility. The computers are just pushing the price a little bit up, a little bit up, a little bit up, a little bit up. Prices keep going up. People say, let's go. Why? Let's invest in the market. Why? Because the prices keep going up. Well, why are they going up? Well, I don't know, but they do. They keep going up. Well, this is like betting that you can roll the dice seven for the eighth time in a row. I'm on a roll, baby. Why? I'm going to roll dice. I'm going to roll another seven for the eighth. I'm going to double my money again on roll number eight. How do you know? Because I'm on a roll. That's all. That's all. It realistically, you don't have a... I mean, the odds are against you. You're not doing anything magical here. And people are removed from fundamentals. And insofar as that's true, and their wealth can disappear in an instant.
And why do you think these markets are up in their lap? Hey, they might be computers, but their computers also have to go by input. Information
is they only go on data.
But my point is, when Mr. Trump was elected, there was a crash of 1,000 points and it came around. Why do you think these markets are really doing what they're doing? Because you got all those Goldman Sachs people in there. You have all these bankers who will benefit from eliminating the regulations. You have, and that's what they're all betting on. They're betting that they can go out and loan more money, make more money, become more powerful, become bigger and bigger, so they don't fail. They can't fail. They won't fail. And it's just like there isn't anything, no fundamentals at all underneath anything that we've seen.
No,
the reality is just, it's just so bizarre anymore.
And that's what I'm saying
now.
In the article. There are no fundamentals under supporting the market, or very little fundamental. The fundamentals are minimal, if they're there at all. And well, again, we're playing a game that we can't understand, and even if we could, we can't move fast enough to compete.
Oh, I think we
That's
understand,
a game we
should,
Al. Either.
Oh, I think we understand.
I don't think we do. Does anyone understand why the price of whatever went up $10 today? Does anyone know what
happened? Yeah, it's the same reason that the reason why gold is only below $1,300. It's all rigged.
Well, there's rigging there, that's for sure. But the rigging, at least it used to be in the hands of people. Now the rigging's in the hands of computers. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. This is Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we have a little special today. It's the same one I've been running with the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle along with the 21 ounce Silver Eagles, $565. That includes your shipping costs. You can buy one or 100 of these, and we'll reduce the price if you buy 100 of them. I promise you that. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I almost sound like Mr. Trump. Doesn't he say, I promise you that? I promise you. But certainly a nice little package to get started. It's great to be at both your gold and your silver. But everything is at great prices. Tomorrow I will update you on the $10 Liberty gold pieces that everyone has been purchasing, the Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces. They have certainly jumped in their premium. They're running about $20, $25 more than what the bigger piece, their counterpart, is selling for. So they're still a good buy, but not a good a buy as they once were when they were selling at and below their $20 gold counterpart. So I'll update you on that, but give us a call for $565, 1-800-375-4188. Alfred?
Yes?
You still there?
Yes, I am. I got an article here from Conservative Tribune, and it's a response in part to what we've seen from Charlottesville, the violence, the threats, the Confederate statues being knocked down, the rest of that sort of thing. And the headline is, Rush just used the two most chilling words possible to describe what's coming to America. And they're talking about Rush Limbaugh. It says, speaking to his listeners on Friday, conservative powerhouse Rush Limbaugh described where he thought America is headed if racial tensions continue to rise the way they have been. And it isn't pretty. We haven't seen anything like this. You might even get away with saying that we are on the cusp of a second civil war. And those are the two words they're talking about. And he's not the first one to use that term. And I'm inclined to say that's hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. I don't see that we're going to have a civil war here unless people insist on having one. It doesn't have to be, that's for sure. But it is interesting that the seen several articles since Charlottesville, and maybe before, I don't remember clearly, where someone or another warned that we may be headed toward a civil war, which I thought was an exaggeration. But if Limbaugh's talking about this, it's evidence that this idea is gaining traction. This possibility, it was just a crazy idea. Now people are sitting back and saying, maybe it's not so crazy. But in any case, Limbaugh thinks that if the racial tensions continue to rise, we could be headed for a second civil war. Limbaugh said that America is under attack from within, adding that our culture, history, and founding are under what he called the most direct assault that he has ever seen in his life. We are headed toward some kind of war. It is a war that the left started by attacking America's culture, religion, and founding. I don't know who started the war. I'm sure that the left has contributed to it, but this is a conservative publication, and they're not going to accuse the Republicans, of course. But Everybody's got an angle. All right? And what is the fundamental idea of governments? At least sometimes it seems like this is the truth of the matter. If you're poor, you need to find a way to get money out of the middle class, because the middle class is the primary producer in this country. They're not the primary consumer. They are the primary producer. All right? And if you're rich, once again, the rich have a great deal in common with the poor. Both of them are trying to extract wealth from the middle class that actually earns money. The rich do it by bribing congressmen to pass laws that allow the rich to take money from the middle class. The poor do it by voting and forming whatever pressure groups they can to get Congress to vote laws to let them take special entitlements from the middle class. Nobody wants to earn their own keep except the middle class, and the middle class is being eroded away. Well, from that perspective, that both the wealthy looking for subsidies and the poor looking for entitlements, and both of them are focusing, let's rob the middle class. From that perspective, you can't just sit back and say this is the fault of the left or this is the fault of the right. This is the fault of the political system that seems to think the middle class is something to be predated upon. And they think it's appropriate to rob the middle class. And some of them say, well, let's rob it and give it to the rich. And other ones say, no, let's rob it and give it to the poor. But both sides agree, let's rob the middle class. And it may be, I'm not going to say that that's exactly the truth of the matter, but there is some truth to it. When you think about it, you can say, maybe that makes a little bit of sense. And who is, in fact, protecting the middle class? Who is promising them something for nothing? And the answer is nobody I'm aware of. The middle class gets to work and produce, and then the government decides we'll help you divide up whatever you've produced, and we'll give some to rich patrons and some to poor patrons, and you can make do with whatever's left over. So I'm just this article where it says the left started by attacking America's culture, religion, and founding. No doubt there's truth in that statement, but they have contributed to the problem by attacking America's culture, religion, and founding. But they're not the only ones. This isn't just the left. This is a political system that's for sale to the highest bidder. And as a result, both parties are out to do harm to the middle class, and the middle class has been shrinking. It's being predated upon to the point where it's starting to disappear. And soon we won't have anybody to support us anymore. We can't get entitlements from the middle class because we've driven them to extinction. We can't get subsidies for the rich for the middle class because we've driven them to extinction. Who is going to support the country without the middle class? And who in the Congress is actually supporting them? So we need to support the middle class. Anybody really doing that? I'm sure there's people that talk about it, but is anyone really doing it? I don't think so. And so, I don't know. A couple of things here. People are talking about a civil war. I don't think that's going to happen. But nevertheless, that talk is rising. But then the next question will be, who will we blame? Who will take the blame? And you can almost bet that whoever gets blamed will be the patsy. All right? He'll be the one, he'd be the lone gunman. Say, ooh.
It's not a matter of who takes the blame. It's a matter of who would win. No one.
Some people will win. They'll stay in office as long as they can blame somebody besides Congress, the Senate, the White House. Politicians stay in office, they win.
Well, then they get to erect more statues.
Yeah, that's another one. I mean, one of these things they are talking about.
Oh my,
somebody's
got to
do
gracious.
Something about the statues of Christopher Columbus. Those are also offensive to people because people from Europe came in, conquered the Indians, and took over. See, the thing about it, though, is what about when the Romans, the Italians, conquered Germany and England and most of Europe? What about that? Shall we knock down all the statues to Julius Caesar? And whoever they have in Italy, shall they all be torn to the ground because it offends someone? You know, the world is a place of conflict. And the idea that you can change history by eliminating statues is simply stupid. It's a philosophy that's appropriate for barbarians. I'm sure that when Rome finally fell to the barbarians broke into Rome and they destroyed all their little monuments. They made it a point to knock them down. Well, it didn't change the world.
Wow.
All right, it didn't change the fact that Rome was overthrown. Yes, that did. But eliminating the monuments did not eliminate the history. It's still what happened has happened. And this whole thing has gotten out of control, and no one is standing up to say, hey, you people are behaving like a bunch of idiots.
You know what, Al? We're supposed to learn from history. If you remove history, where do people go?
Internet, Melody.
So if you remove
That's where I
history,
get all my information.
What are you going to who? How do you learn? We're supposed to learn from history. If you rewrite it and you remove it, things sort of stay the same, don't they?
You know, people are offended by people. Some people are offended by statues to General Robert E. Lee. Some people are offended by statues to Martin Luther King. How many statues can we knock down because somebody's offended? By the time we get done with it, if we're not going to put up any statues, any monuments, no little plaques along the road on this spot, so-and-so, we had the Battle of such-and-such back in 1868, we're going to tear them all down, what is going to be left? No history? We're all going to just sit around and try to make sense of the world without even a historical context, and we can't have any history that anyone finds offensive. If the Germans are offended by the Romans, then we get the Romans have to change. If the Romans are offended by the English have to change. If English are offended, what about those people? How about England? They must be extremely offended by the statues of George Washington. He kicked the English butts back in the day. Are the English offended, and shall we knock down the statues of Washington and Jefferson? Madison? How many people are offended by the Lincoln Monument? How many people are offended by the Jefferson Memorial? How many people are offended by, half of Washington, it's an exaggeration to say half, but a bunch of Washington, D.C. is monuments. To what? Is there a monument there that doesn't offend somebody? And shall we knock every monument down that's offensive? Some people find offensive? The whole thing, this is a kind of madness, and I don't know where this is going to go, but it's spiraling out of control, and we are allowing some people we're indulging them like children, and they're throwing a temper tantrum. And they're saying, oh, you go ahead and knock those monuments down because you were offended. Get over it. Get over it. Get on with your lives. All right, and your lives don't include tearing memorials to the ground. That's not my opinion. And a kind of madness that would be inconceivable even a few months ago. Not just when I was a kid, but just a few months ago. Some of what's happening is becoming just inconceivable, and everybody says, oh, we've got to put up with this. We've got to accept this. No, we don't. No, we don't. You know, the idea of the Confederate War, the offense that we find, that some people claim to find in Robert E. Lee and Confederate generals and the rest of it, is because the Confederate War is associated with slavery. My understanding of history is that the Civil War did not begin over slavery. You go to the Lincoln Memorial, and there is an inscription carved in stone from one of the letters from Lincoln at the Lincoln Memorial, where he's talking about how they were two or three years into the Civil War before they began to realize that maybe slavery is a big issue. But this was an economic problem. The North wanted to continue to get cheap resources from the South. The South said, forget that. We want to sell our products at a price we can make a profit off of. It's my understanding that that's what really precipitated the conflict. And later on, it morphed into it, into a fight about slavery. It became a justification for a horrific conflict. Both sides thought this would be over in 6 months. They never imagined the kind of horror that they were unleashing. And then after that, they had to come up with a noble reason. We're fighting to free the slaves. No, that's not what we're fighting for, at least not initially. And everybody got caught up in this. Now we're going to blame the South for fighting for slavery. And no doubt that's true to some degree. But it wasn't the primary motive, as I understand.
South wanted to leave the Union.
I understand. They wanted to sell their cotton at whatever their own price. They didn't want
to,
effectively compelled to sell it to the North.
I just wanted to make a comment. Tonight, Mr. Trump is going to address the nation on Afghanistan. I find that a little odd with everything going on. And I don't know if it's just going to be about Afghanistan tonight, but they announced it yesterday.
They'll start with Afghanistan, and then Mr. Trump is going to say something.
And that's,
you can bet he says something.
I don't know. This has been scheduled.
It's a different subject, a different hot button.
This has been scheduled since yesterday, so I'm sure it's going to be, you know, strongly scripted.
Trump will ad lib. Trump will ad lib.
It's going
something.
To be 9 p.m.
Did you hear what he said?
It's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern time. And he's scheduled to speak from Fort Myer in Arlington, Virginia. They have agreed to, he hinted on Saturday that they have agreed on a new strategy for America's longest war. We'll have to see if that includes mercenaries. So, I hear the music, Al.
Then it must be time to go back to the internet melody.
It must be time to say bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.